The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the mystery and marvel of Christmas. That little baby who was born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a humble manger is God. Think about it. This infant is the heir. He will inherit all things. If you can see it or touch it or feel it, it belongs to him, along with everything that exists that's beyond the range of your senses. In fact, it was through him that everything that is came to being in the first place. The Word of God, eternally begotten of the Father, is the means by which God accomplished creation. He spoke the Word, "Let there be," and there was. And it was this Word of God, this utterance of the Father, the origin and source of life and light, who took on our human flesh. In the virgin's womb, God knit him together, forming his inward parts, covering them with skin. Thus the Word was born a little baby, indistinguishable from any other infant. I'm sorry, the poet wasn't saying the truth when he said, "No crying he makes." Though he is the exact imprint of God's nature, indeed is of one substance with the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Creator of all things became a creature. The infinite became finite. The Almighty became a helpless baby, nursing at his mother's breast, swaddling in strips of cloth, needing to be cared for and provided for in every way by the Virgin and her husband. This baby, who upholds the universe by the word of his power, truly there is mystery in this, and marvel that God, the Word, should become flesh. He didn't just enter the world. He actually took on our frail mortality, became subject to sickness and death. Incredible as this fact is, though, and we could spend long hours meditating on and marveling over this truth, there's something even more stupendous about the Word becoming flesh. And that, of course, is why he did it. We're used to all sorts of stunts to gain attention. Our society seems to live by the motto, "There's no such thing as bad publicity." But that isn't why the Word became flesh. He didn't take on flesh to garner attention. He came into the world. He took up our mortal nature to enlighten everyone, to shine in your heart, giving you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, John wrote. What you know of God by nature, by virtue of his law being written in your heart, is decidedly not good news for you. Because he is a righteous God, and you are an unrighteous creature. By your sin you have earned his wrath. According to your natural knowledge of God, all that you can expect from him is condemnation. But the Word of God, especially the Word who became flesh, has revealed God not only as righteous, but also as gracious and merciful. Grace, that is undeserved love. Love shown to those who have no merit or worthiness, is made known in Jesus. In the Word become flesh, you see the glory of God. Not a glory to consume and destroy the impure and unholy, but a glory to purify and sanctify them. To purify and sanctify them by taking from them their sins and bestowing his perfect righteousness on them. By taking on himself your sin and bestowing his righteousness on you. This is the fullness of grace and truth God reveals in the Word become flesh. And it happens very concretely. As Jesus comes to you in the Word of Scripture, confronting you with your sin, calling you to repentance, and bestowing on you full and free forgiveness. It happens in holy baptism, where, washed by water with the Word, you were baptized into the holy name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that you are now covered in the spotless robe of Christ's perfect obedience. It happens at the supper as well, where the Word become flesh, unites himself with bread and wine, so that in and with them he gives you himself, his body on your tongue, his blood flowing down your throat, bestowing on you life, forgiveness, and salvation. In all of this, faith responds, "Let it be to me according to your word." And it is. In Jesus, the Son of Mary, you have forgiveness, remission of all your sins, complete and perfect righteousness and innocence before God. In the Word become flesh, the baby born in Bethlehem, the young man baptized in the Jordan preaching on the shores of the sea, the one beaten and abused, suffering and dying on a cross, God reveals his glory, that is, his great self-sacrificing love. And in this revelation, you receive his grace. In the Word become flesh, you know God, and he gives you the right to become his child. Listen again to how St. John puts it. To all who did receive him, that is, Jesus, the Word become flesh, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The divine and eternal Word became flesh, was born of a virgin, so that through faith in him, you and I might be born of God. In Jesus Christ, God has become your loving Father, and you, his beloved child. This is God's glory, to give to you and to me what we could never have received except by his grace, as a gift, through the mercy and merit of his Son, our Savior. Beloved, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So you are, by God's grace, through the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us, subject to the mourning and crying and pain that afflict us here, revealing divine glory as he willingly suffered and died on a cross in love for you. Thus the fullness of God's grace and truth is made manifest. And in him, in his coming, to live and to die in your place, Jesus has made you an eternal heir. God bless you in this holy season to marvel at his grace in becoming flesh, and to treasure up these things in your heart, that you may be filled with faith and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.